for goodness sake. Joshua. Isn't that funny? I knew the book. I could say it, but Joshua. Let's go to Joshua. Joshua. How many of you would like to inherit £1 million? Wave at me if you'd like to inherit £1 million. Those who aren't are lying. I know, I don't know that. I would like to inherit £1 million. It would be wonderful to inherit that. I don't think I'm going to do that. Not that I know of. I don't think I've got any hidden uncles and aunties that are yet to sort of pass on and leave me that inheritance. But you never know. You just never know. You never know. But there's an inheritance. Not only is there an earth inheritance, the cool thing is that the Bible talks to us about having an inheritance. So let's have a quick, I just want to read Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 4 probably. Oh, I might read the whole thing. Joshua, up 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, are you with me? The Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my assistant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them, that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your, this is interesting, we've just said that, haven't we? Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I'm going to go right through to verse 9. I think I've already started. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success or prosper wherever you go. By the way, the meaning of that word good success and prosper isn't necessarily that includes physical prosperity. It does mean victory in the land. It does mean victory in the land. It doesn't necessarily mean £10 million. In the minute, success where you go, it just means success. Whatever endeavor you set your hand to do with God, I will bless it, I will prosper it, I will prosper that endeavor that you put your hand to. That's the meaning of that word. You with me? Just so that you know, I'm not preaching prosperity doctrine, if anyone cares, which you probably don't. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's a good word right there. That's such a good word. It's a good word for all of us. Personally, this word was spoken. This is just a bit of personal stuff, not necessarily to do with the message, but when I was at BSSM just before, at the end of the year, as we were scratching our heads what to do because God was changing he probably wasn't changing our plans. We probably had the wrong ones, but I don't really know. But I'm sitting there, and Chris Valentine, it's at the commissioning of all the year one students, all 1,000 of us, and he preached out of this passage. And as he was speaking, it was like a prophetic word being spoken to me. It just, you know, when you get a prophecy, I don't know if you've ever had that experience, when someone actually gets and prophesies over you, and it's a word that you know that, boy, God is actually speaking to you. You know where it just hits you? Has anyone experienced that? You know, when the word, and you just, it stirs, it's something you just know. It's kind of feels like waves hitting you. And he preached for about 20 minutes on this passage, 20, 25 minutes. It wasn't long as far as Chris is concerned. It's short. But he preached on it, and it come bam, and I'm feeling like I'm being shoved back in the seat. Literally, it was hitting me like this force, and it pushed me. You know, I felt like I was being pushed back in the seat, and I thought, "Wow, that was amazing." And I turned to my friend, "Wasn't that amazing, man? That was just like a prophetic word. Didn't you receive? Did you get that prophetic word?" They go, "No." I'm like, "Oh." So I talked to somebody, you know, said, "There was that." I said, "Wasn't that a great prophetic word? Didn't you get?" And they go, "No." Everyone I shared this was going, "No, didn't get it." You know, they just, psh. And I thought, "Oh, maybe it was a prophetic word just for me." Anyway, that's, don't know why I share. What did I share that for goodness sake? Anyway, that means it's important for that one. The interesting thing in this passage, first of all, let us now, if we could just quickly jump to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Flick on over there to Ephesians chapter 1. And let me read to you verse 11. Chapter 1, verse 11. "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the will of him who works all things according to his counsel and his will, that we may be the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of the truth, of the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." All right, inheritance. So I introduced the word inheritance. When I first got saved, can I go back to Joshua chapter 1 again? Joshua chapter 1, about verse 1 and 2, it says, "This land I am giving to you." I'm giving it to you. "It is yours." The land was given to them. It was theirs. By depot, God had decided, "This land is yours." It was given. They had it. Legally, it was theirs from that point on. You with me? Legally, it was theirs from there. So is the inheritance that we have in the kingdom. Now, there's one scripture that I used to say all the time, and I think it's a great picture of what this inheritance is. I'm just going to move this out of the way. I'm going to trip over something. No, I can't. Don't want to trip over things because this is a sort of a visual aid. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. You can look it up if you want to, but I'll just tell you the verse. The Colossians chapter 1 says this. Says that he has delivered us out of the dominion of darkness and placed us in the kingdom of his son, of the son he lives. Son he loves. Can't remember the next verse, but that verse there says that. So what it says is that we were in the domain of darkness before we knew the Lord, or even before we knew Jesus. The world walks in a place that is ruled by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil is the kingdom, and it's the devil's domain. That when we surrender our lives to Jesus, when we come to know him as Lord, he delivers us out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of darkness, and he takes us and places us in the kingdom of the Son he loves. You with me? I've been placed into my inheritance. It's the land that he has made for me, the spiritual land. The inheritance that we have is essentially spiritual in its origin. It's not a physical land, though it could be. Understand, it's not a, I think as a church, as the people of God, not just this church, for all of us, I think God wants to give us this city. He wants to give this city to his people as an overflow. I'll get to that. But he has delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness. He's delivered me. I have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, and I've been placed into the kingdom of his son. I am no longer in that kingdom. It's gone. Finished. I don't live there anymore. If you know Jesus, if you've given your life to Jesus, neither do you. You do not live there anymore. You live in this kingdom, not that one. We've been delivered out of it through the blood of Christ. Between that kingdom and this one is a thumping great cross and blood shed on that cross. If you want to go back there, you've got to walk through that cross back to there. What a stupid thing to do. This is our inheritance. Living in this realm, living in this dominion, living in this place where we already are is our inheritance. Now, here's the trick. Like Joshua, the land was legally his, theirs, that belonged to them, but they had to go and possess it. I have been delivered out of that kingdom. I am in this kingdom. I have absolutely. In fact, when in my very early days in my Christian walk, not just the early days, for quite a long time, when I was struggling with stuff, when I felt, you know, a failure, I'm no good, I'm all, you know, the stuff that gets in your brain and starts messing in your brain, things go wrong, you feel a failure. Now, my biggest thing, two big devils used to chase, I won't give them the grace to call them big devils, but two devils used to stuff around with me all the time, insecurity and inferiority. They were my two boogeymans that used to give me a hard time all the time. They don't so much now. Every now and again, they might rear their head. But then I struggled with that a lot. Insecurity, inferiority. I don't know if anyone else struggles with that, but these were my ones. And often, but the thing I used to do, I would go, this I know. This I know. And I'd quite literally, this is what I'd do. And I'd quote that scripture. I have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. I walk across the room and placed in the kingdom of his son. You have no hold on me anymore. Did it happen overnight? No. I remember having to do this lots of times. Getting it, and I'd do this. I don't know if Sabina ever saw me do it. I did it, you know, when I'm in my quiet time. But I would literally walk across the room and see that's there, that's here. And I'd declare, this is my place. You don't have any hold on me. There's a time we also have to, having been placed in the kingdom, we have to learn to possess it as well. That's our part. This is what Jesus has done. He has delivered us out of here. He has placed us in it. We're there. It's not his responsibility for us then to possess it. He can't do that for us. You with me? It is by grace. It's all good. It's everything in that kingdom is mine. Everything. Everything, 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 everything. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1, let's go to Ephesians 1. Let's read through this. Ephesians chapter 1. You will see the little phrase in Ephesians chapter 1, in Christ or in him, a number of times. And you read all the in Christ and in him, that's your and my inheritance. I love the first one. It's just, because this is just what I've been demonstrating. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord. By the way, it mentions predestination a number of times. I'm not going to turn this message into a teaching on predestination and election, so don't even want me to do that this morning. Another time, maybe not now. It can be a massive sidetrack, so we won't. But we'll look at the benefits of it. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. I have at my disposal for my use, for my welfare, for my enjoyment, for everything possible I may want to do with it, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. How many spiritual blessings are there in the heavenly realms? Don't have a clue. He's an infinite God, must be a lot. He tells us some, but I don't think the list is exhaustive. And even if we just begin enjoying the ones he's given us, I don't think we get to the end of it. Because the scripture says, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore, or eternal pleasures. Why would you want to go back there? Pleasures that last just for a time and disappear and melt like ice in their hands, disappear. These ones are eternal. Don't disappear. Always there, remain. And I think grow. As our capacity to enjoy, they grow. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Is this fun? All right, let's get on. In him, this is verse 4, before the foundation of the world, we were that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us. I'm not going to go there, but this is the fruit of it. For adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. So, here I am a son. So are you ladies. Do I need to explain this? I've done this before with you guys, haven't I? So you know, right? You're sons. You are inheritors of everything that this kingdom has. Everything. Everything. Righto. Verse 7. In him, there's another in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Didn't pour it out stingily, lavished upon us. When we were delivered out of this kingdom, what was left here was our sins and the payment and the judgment for it, because it was destroyed on this cross. We passed through that cross, and it's all left behind. Everything forgiven. Everything forgiven. Gone. Finished with. Don't go back there digging it up. I'm jumping ahead of myself. I'm exhausted after this. Excited but exhausted. Making known to us. Set forth in Christ. I won't go into that one. This is bigger than my brain can cope with. But there's another in him. Uniting everything in him, in heaven and on earth. That's out of my brain box to cope with. That's got to be awesome, whatever it is. In him we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance is something, what? That when someone dies, you get it. If your name's on it, it's yours. Yes? We have it obtained an inheritance. Our names are on it. Our names are on it. Wait, that's mine. In him, you also, when you heard the word of the truth, gospel of your salvation, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, we were sealed. It's a guarantee. You know, when you make a down payment, you know, it's a guarantee. The Holy Spirit is given to us for all sorts of things. It's His presence in us that lives in us. But one of the reasons that He is given to us is because He is the guarantee of that inheritance. He's the guarantee. I'm your down deposit. This only gets better. This only gets bigger from what you know now. It will not be taken from us. To lose it, like I said, you have to walk back through that cross into the other country. Only an idiot would do that. Or someone who didn't really understand what they've been given. Or what this cross meant. You have to despise that cross to lose the inheritance that God has given us. You with me? It's scary to meet people who have despised it, having tasted of it and walked back through that. I haven't met many, but they're scary people. Anyway. Now, it is incumbent upon us, therefore, to be able to learn to enjoy that. And that's the rub. That's the rub. That's the difficulty that we so often face, is that being able to step into the inheritance that we have and that's given to us by grace. And grace is received by faith. Now, Joshua, when he went into the kingdom, there were two things he was told to do primarily. There was fruit to those two things. Two things. One, be strong and courageous. In other words, don't be afraid. Don't back down. Don't get all timid. Don't get all afraid. Don't get, oh, no, I'm not good. You know, all that stuff that says I'm not good enough. I'm not da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Don't let that affect you. Second thing, meditate on this book. Well, I've got an iPad, so I meditate on the words written in my iPad. You know what I mean? Meditate on this law. I've said this before, I think once before, quite a while ago. When you read the word law, and you see that, that refers to the first five books of your Bible. Now, of course, in Joshua's time, the law was hadn't quite been written. It might have been, because Moses was writing it. You know, they said you're spending all your time writing the. And Moses was right because he was a prince in Egypt. He knew how to write. He would have educated as a prince of Egypt. They had writing in those days. Moses wrote the revelations that they had down. They may have carried beforehand. We don't know for sure. But Moses was definitely writing down. The book of Deuteronomy is all those five books he wrote, as far as we can figure out from it. It was all written down for them. Do not let this book of the law. Now, the law was more than just do's and don'ts. We often hear it because there's this huge passage, and I think Genesis, no, where is it? Deuteronomy 20, somewhere in there. He says, where God says, if you obey this law, you will be blessed. If you disobey it, you'll be cursed. Remember that passage? There's that thing. So we've got fixed in our brains that the law is, I better do this, because if I don't, I'm going to get toasted here. As the law is, do this, or if you don't do this, that's what we think when we read the law. But the law was bigger than that. The law was the story of the dealings of God. The law was the story of their redemption, of their deliverance out of Egypt. Why was Joshua able to be used by the Lord to lead the people? Him and Caleb were 2 out of 10 spies that were sent into the promised land. 2 men came back and said, we can do this. Why did they say that? Did they read it in the law? No, because they experienced something of God. They saw the hand of God deliver them out of Egypt. They saw the hand of God bring plagues. They saw the hand of God turn that river into blood. They saw the hand of God move a sea apart so they could walk through and close it over their enemies. They saw this. What would that do to your thinking about God? Oh my gosh. I think it would both inspire you and would terrify you. God is God, and we aren't. And I think Joshua would have seen that, thought, oh my gosh. But in the midst of that, he would have said, and he did that for us. He must like us a lot. Because I'm sure he knew they didn't really necessarily deserve it. We haven't done anything to deserve it. We didn't. What did we do? He just wanted us out. All we are the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's all we are. Haven't earned any of this, haven't done anything to deserve it. Maybe, probably not. We were slaves, we were in bondage. God loves us, he's come, and in his awesome, powerful work that we saw him do right in front of us. I was there when it happened. I was there when that water, when Moses lifted that staff and the wind blew and the water was driven back. We walked across it. I was there. I saw it with these eyes. And him and Caleb saw it, and so did those other 10. Saw the same things. But only in Caleb was it, in Joshua, was it met with faith. Only in Joshua and Caleb did what they see begin to turn into something that says, God is awesome. And he, thankfully, really, really likes us. Now, it doesn't say it in the scripture, but I think that's what went on. So the law is more than just, therefore do this, do that. All the do's and don'ts flow out of knowing that, not make us get there. It flows out of knowing that. In fact, they didn't get the law until after that event. One of the things it says, I think it's Psalm 78, where it talks about the people of God, they're marching through the promise, marching around the wilderness, and then they constantly kept saying, over and over and over again, they did not remember what God had done. Not what he'd said. Not they keep forgetting the law. No, it said they did not remember what God had done for them. Interesting, isn't it? We think, oh, I've been disobedient. Well, actually, no, you forgot who God is. You forgot the amazing power and grace that's available for you. That's what you forgot. Is this itching, scratching where anyone itches? I'm enjoying preaching it. Yeah, I'll get on with it. Yeah. I hope this is meaning something. You can tell I'm getting worked up about this. It's important that we grasp this. Absolutely important. This land is given to us by grace. Joshua and them were delivered out of Egypt by grace, because of the grace of God. They walk in it then by faith. Now listen. Faith is not an inactive thing. Faith looks like something. Faith looks like something. We are called, as Paul says, to the obedience of faith. Now, in a grace world, one of the things we talk about, you know, we're a grace church. I love being a grace church. River Church is a grace church. We believe who we are and what we are because only and utterly and completely by the lavished grace of God upon our lives. But grace has to have obedience. Oh no, grace is received and applied and enacted, enabled in our lives because it meets with faith. Remember, the people of God in the old days didn't enter into the promised land because it did not meet with faith. Only two men it did. The other 10 did not make it. Has to be met by faith. But faith always looks like something. There is an obedient faith means you do something. Either inwardly, there's an action in our hearts, or even outwardly. There, faith involves an action. It is not, what's the word I'm looking for? Thank you. Who said passive? Thank you. Passive. That's the word. Well done. Thanks, Jill. It is not passive. It is active. Always. Otherwise, it's not biblical faith. You know that dreadful, James talks about, you show me your work, I will show you my faith by what I do. He talked about incidents of faith, examples of it, by what I do, by how I behave, by what I act. That action of faith is the thing that releases all the stuff that's in the kingdom to us that we can enjoy. And the key is focusing it as, and it primarily works as Joshua was told by meditating on the word of God. Is that, you know, Psalm 1, blessed is the man who meditates on God's word. He will be like a tree planted by the water that grows up and bears fruit every season. Even when the other trees aren't, it will, because it's planted by a tree. And Jeremiah 17, I think it is. No, it's not 17. Talks about the person who is planted by the heart that's planted by the river shall be the same. Planted by the river of the Spirit of God and in the Word. What God wants to do is that we would soak ourselves in the truths of this book, the truths of this book, so that we begin to live the truth, so that truth becomes embodied in us, so that the fruit of this kingdom that we already live in begins to become real in us, begins to become active in our lives, begins to become something that overtakes our lives and becomes the ruling authority in our lives, not an authority in the sense, it's the thing, you know what I mean? It's that thing, that overriding motivational force that's in us is the revelation of God, the law, the things not only that he's done, but he's said as well. And that becomes more, the greater that revelation becomes, the more living the Christian life becomes something that's a joy. It becomes something that's an overflow, becomes something that's a partnership. I enjoy what Beth said. I've decided I'm not going to partner with fear. I'm not going to be its friend. Fear belongs in that kingdom. I don't need that anymore. I don't have to join that. I don't have to. It goes, ooh, come back. Come and join me. Remember when you were such a wimp. Oh, how wonderful it was to feel depressed. Oh, how come back. Come and join me again. Yes? Who's experienced that kind of thing? Maybe not with those things, but that stuff that says, you know, good, you're a failure. Look at the shame that's over your life. You are not good enough. Guess where that's coming from? This place. Not his kingdom. He never says that to us. It's this place. You and I have a choice to partner with that or to partner with the one who says, I love you. I love you so much. There is so much I want to give you. There's so much I want to show you. And guess what? If you and I join together, you're going to see things that will blow your little brain apart. You and I are going to have fun. You and I are going to take over the world. Why not? Is it easy? No. Simple in concept? Yes. Not always easy. Because this battle is very real. Let's not underestimate it. It is very real. But we do not focus on what this dude is saying. We focus on what this glorious heavenly king is saying to us. We cannot afford to give our thoughts to what the devil's doing. Let me make a quote for you if I can find it. Or maybe I won't bother it, take too long to do it. But you understand that. You and I cannot afford to entertain thoughts in our minds that are not in line with the truth. The problem is we do. We let what he is saying, or that kingdom is saying to it, stuff around in our brains. The biggest guns of your and my spiritual warfare, then you may not have thought of this. The biggest guns of our spiritual warfare are not to be aimed out there. Because greater is he that is in us than he that's in there. A gazillion times bigger is he that's in us. You know, when I used to hear that, I think, oh, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Oh, he's so big and nasty. Thank God that he's just that little bit bigger. I don't know where I got that stupid from. Probably from this turkey telling me that. I have thankfully grown to realize actually this one who lives in me is huge. How big is the devil compared to God? Seriously. Seriously. And we're seated with him in heavenly places. Far above. Oh. Let me get to this. I think I'm nearly finished. Are you all right? You with me? Who's having fun? Oh, goody, because I am. All right. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith, Paul goes on and asks, he prays that, da-da-da-da. We'll have a quick look at that. No, hopefully finish. The immeasurable greatness of his power, da-da-da-da. Ah, let me read it now. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease in giving thanks for you, remembering in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit and wisdom of revelation and may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. He wants us to grow in understanding and knowing who Jesus is. Because as that revelation and understanding of who he is, everything else pales into insignificance. Everything else pales into insignificance. Oh, that's why he wants us, having our eyes of our hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, this is talking about God's inheritance. Do you know what the glorious inheritance is, God's? Do you know what God's glorious inheritance is? Someone tell me. Us. Isn't that daft? We are his inheritance. He's looking forward to it. You guys are my inheritance. Isn't that cool? Is that how you feel about that? Bet some of you don't. Bet some of you struggle with that. I know. No, I don't know that for sure. But I do know for me that was something I struggled with. That God really is that excited about me. I am his inheritance. We are his inheritance. When Jesus died, he got us. And that's what he always wanted. Where is inheritance? How silly is that? What the? I'm your inheritance? Yes. So are you, every single one of us. You spent some time thinking about that. The God of the universe, who made this amazing universe, who spoke and it came into being, so much so the Hubble telescope, you try and figure out how big this world is, this universe is, you cannot cope. I can't cope. I'll talk more about that on Christmas Eve. The God who did that has you and I for his inheritance. Just to the planet, he wants us. He might have made all that, but really what he wants is us. And he's got us through the blood of Jesus. Oh, well, we could all go home and just camp on that for the rest of the week and it would be glorious. Yes? Anyway, I still haven't got to where I want to go. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? See, Paul wants us to understand the power that's available to us. The power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the same power that's in us right now, whether we feel it or not. It's there. He's there because the Spirit of God is in us. That, and the trick in learning to live in this thing is to begin to realize that every single day. Now, I don't always do this. To my shame, I struggle with waking up in the morning thinking what a failure I've been the day before. And it takes a while. I have to work at it. I don't do this. There are other declarations now I make over with. That one's, I know I'm here. I think for the most part, I know I'm here. I just don't always grasp everything that's here. I know because I know because I know I don't live there anymore. I know that. It's the rest of it that I sometimes get. But Paul wants us to know, God wants us to know the enormity of the power that's in us. or it works towards us. Anyway, I haven't still got to the bit. According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Remember, the heavenly places is not a geographical place. The heavenly places is around us all the time. It's dimensional, not geographical. With me? It's dimensional. The heavenly realm is right around us now. Some of us have the great joy of being able to see into it. I don't get to see into it very often. I have friends who can see angels and all these kind of things, and they say, oh, I've just seen it, and I think, oh, shut up. I mean, I don't think that, you know. I just get envious. And I'm thankful for my unknown mentor, Bill Johnson, says the same. He said he gets envious of all his friends who sees all these things. He said, I don't. And yet, who wouldn't want Bill Johnson's anointing? It'd be daft not to want it. So I'm encouraged that a man of such stature doesn't get these wonderful, you know, get these big revelations. And he's envious of people who do. I think, oh, there's hope for me yet. You know, whew, I can be me. I occasionally see them. And if you do see them, please share them with us. If no one wants to listen, come and tell me. I know Sabina will be excited. Sabina does. Sabina gets, that boy there gets occasional trips to heaven. Go and ask Corey to tell you about his trips to heaven. I don't know if he's had any. Have you had any recently? Not recently. That's right. Used to get a lot of them. Far above every rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. Don't understand that. But doesn't matter. Don't care. And he put all things under his feet and he gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So everything, every rule, authority, power, and dominion above every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age to come, is under Christ's feet. Now, turn to verse 6 in Ephesians 2. Verse 6 in Ephesians 2. And this is where you sit. For he raised us up with him. All right, over here, step through the cross, I'm over here. I am raised up with Jesus, so are you, with him. I'm raised up with him. Where? Where am I raised up to? And seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's just go back and finish it off. Verse 14, far above every rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age to come. That's where you and I sit, in the heavenly realms. Far above every principality, every name, every power, every dominion on this earth, we sit in that heavenly realm, above all of it, in the spiritual world, because we're in Christ. We sit with him at Father's right hand, partnering with him to release his kingdom. So the more we begin to understand this realm that we live in, the more we meditate on this, the more it becomes revelation to us, the more we step out in faith in what we know of him and of this kingdom and begin to do the works of the kingdom, the more that grows, the more we understand, the more God is able to release through us into this world his kingdom, because that in the end is what he wants. Not just for us to have a glory party and a wonderful time. He wants the kingdom that we stand in, that we are in, which is also in us, to be released through us into the world. That's what he wants. That's the joy. That's the privilege that we get to do, to reveal Jesus. All right. I think I've probably gone on long enough. Faith looks like something. Faith looks like something. Faith is always an action. We were called, I can't remember the scripture. I think it's the beginning of Romans, but I might be wrong, where it talks about that Paul was given the commission to call the Gentiles to the obedience of faith. See, faith looks like something. It's an action. And when we step out in faith, we are obedient. We are being obedient to that which we believe in. That's what obedience in the kingdom looks like. It's not obedience to get to the kingdom. It's obedience that we walk in the kingdom that then release through us. There is obedience in the kingdom, in the Christian world. This is what I meant to say before. That when we're in a grace church, and you know, a lot of things, we don't often hear about obedience. But actually it's foundational. Because faith looks like something. Faith does not sit back and goes, twiddles its thumbs and moans and whinges and complains about what I haven't got. Well, Jesus has given everything to us. Faith accesses that and lives it out. You with me? In obedience. That's why Joshua said, be careful to do everything. First thing you had to do is meditate on this word. Get this word in your heart, because the word of God is higher than even his name. He honors his word above everything, even above his own reputation. He honors his word. That word has to get in us, has to get in us. And that's your and my responsibility, not his. But as that word gets in us, we're transformed more and more and more. And meditation is focusing ourselves on the one that this revelation reveals. That sounds funny, doesn't it? Revelation. Remember, it's revelation. Next time you read the word law, read revelation of the king and his kingdom. Because that's what the book is about. It's revealing the king and his kingdom. We meditate on the king and his kingdom. Being careful to obey. Being careful to, by faith, walk in that which we know and understand. Is this making sense? Is it easy? Not always, no. I wish it was. It's not always. Because there is a real enemy that we give too much ear view to. We cannot afford to have thoughts in our mind that are not from the king and his kingdom. We cannot afford to entertain thoughts in our minds about ourselves that God does not think. Can't afford it. We should not have any. It's not in this kingdom. Don't let them in. Keep them out. Easier said than done, of course, he says. Constant struggle. That's why the biggest guns of our spiritual warfare do not have to be aimed at the devil out there. They have to be aimed at what goes on in our heads. The biggest guns of our spiritual warfare are all about what goes on up here and what we believe and what we understand and how we respond to that. That's where the real battle is. Not out there. The devil's... those things. People can be delivered, set free, healed, da 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 da. If we've got this happening in our lives, that'll be easy. The battle is what this guy wants to shove in there and we let sit there. Whew. Actually, all of that was just to say that. Whew. I probably should land the sermon, shouldn't I? Faith looks like something. But faith starts with understanding and revelation. So let me pray Paul's prayer over us this morning, that we will grow in our understanding. And you, the responsibility for you and I is to take time and put time aside. See, how much value do you put on it? The question is, how much value do you and I place on this kingdom that we stand in? Oh, not much. Fine. Then you won't get much from it. If you put high value on this, immense value on this, you and I will spend time learning, soaking, living in this kingdom. Because what we feed on, what we feed our hearts with, the realm that we feed from, either that one or that one, the realm we feed on will flow out of our lives. Just the way it is. It's the way we're designed. It's the way we're made. He wants us to feed off this realm all the time, not let anything of the world, the flesh, which is our own desires, which can run rampant, and the devil, he doesn't want any of that to dictate our thought patterns. He wants his word, his kingdom, to be the thing that consumes us. As someone said before, he wants us so heavenly minded. Did someone say this before? Or I've been listening to too many different messages. I think I heard Todd White preach. He said he wants us to be so heavenly minded that automatically what's in heaven flows out through us here on the earth. I like that. People say, oh, he's so heavenly minded, no earthly use. If you actually are really heavenly minded in the truest sense of what that means, you will be powerfully of earthly use. People may not have any use for you. They might not like what you do, but you will be powerfully useful in the world. You and I. I include myself in that. All right, let me just stop now, and let's pray this prayer over us, because it's a good prayer and I need it. So this is just for me as much. I'm using Paul's words, but I'm praying it for me just as much as I'm praying it for you. All right. Paul says, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you, remembering in my prayers. So I'll try and turn this prayer into a prayer for us all here. Is that good? Sound good? Feel free to stand if you wish. Lord, we pray that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of yourself, that we would have the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that we may know what is the hope to which you have called us, what are the riches of your glorious inheritance in us, and what is the immeasurable greatness of your power towards us who have put our trust in you. According to the working of your amazing might that you worked when you raised Christ Jesus from the dead and you seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above every rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only as in this age, but in the age to come. We thank you, Lord, that you have raised us up with Christ, with him, in him. Not because we earned it, not because we discerned it, but because you lavished your grace upon us to deliver us out of the kingdom of the devil and place us in the kingdom of your Son. Give us the eyes of wisdom to see what that is to be seated in those heavenly places with Jesus at your right hand, Father. Because now is the time, Lord. Now, Lord, is the time for us to walk upon the land. Now is the time to do the things that you have called us to do. And we as a church want to be a church where you are pleased to dwell. We as a church want to be a church where you just cannot help but come and visit because there's such a welcome here for you. You can't keep away because our lives are expressed in faith and love. Because faith is expressed. Faith is expressed through love. Always. Kingdom faith is always expressed through love. Father, we ask that you would increase it in our lives. Spirit of God, you would increase. As we come before you, you would open our eyes as we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.